Atenção, senhores espectadores. Muito boa tarde.
Corkout History presents
Grândola Vila Morena,
Picard Nation Revolution.
A partir deste momento, o movimento das Forças Armadas,
brought to you by André Andinés,
controla totalmente a rede emissora da Rádio e Televisão Portuguesa.
The Portuguese colonial war spanned from 1961 to 1974 and marked an incredibly tumultuous period, primarily in Portugal's African colonies of Angola, Guinea, and Mozambique, and some of the territories of Timor. Rooted, of course, in decades of oppressive colonial rule, the conflict erupted as African nationalist movements sought independence from Portuguese domination. These movements included the Popular Movement for the Liberation of Angola, MPLA, the National Front for the Liberation of Angola, FNLA, and the National Union for the Total Independence of Angola, UNITA, in Angola. The African Party for the Independence of Guinea and Cape Verde, the PAIGC, in Guinea, and the Mozambique Liberation Front, the FRELIMO, in Mozambique, and as well the Revolutionary Front for an Independent East Timor, the FRETILIN, in East Timor. Angola gained independence on November 11, 1975. Guinea would gain independence in September 24, 1973, while Mozambique gained its independence in June 1975. East Timor declared independence on November 28, 1975, but was invaded and occupied by Indonesia, and only gained full independence in May 2002. It's a long way for all of these nations to get their independence, but let's drive back. Portugal's colonization of these territories began in the 15th century. It was driven by trade, resources, and strategic dominance. If initially colonization was mostly coastal, it was tied to the slave trade. Towards the end of the 19th century, territorial colonization became more prominent as Portugal sought to solidify its control over the regions and the inland. Over the centuries, Portugal established a very complex colonial system that was, of course, characterized by the exploitation of natural resources, forced labor, and cultural assimilation, efforts that were aimed at the indigenous populations and of control. The colonies became integral parts of the Portuguese Empire and were contributing to the wealth and resources of Portugal, while, of course, enduring the harsh colonial rule. Salazar's regime saw the colonies as an extension of the country. Salazar had this vision of a Portugal that extended from the territorial unity of Portugal towards the overseas territories and was considered just a one big nation. He usually referred to this concept with the phrase Portugal from Minho to Timor, which emphasized this idea of a unit that's extended from the northernmost region, Minho, to the distant shores of Timor in Southeast Asia. Salazar's vision was, of course, rooted in the idea of maintaining the Portuguese sovereignty and preserving the colonial empire as a source of pride and, of course, let's not forget, economic benefit. Under his rule, Portugal pursued a policy of assimilation, centralization in its colonies, and seeking to integrate them culturally, politically, and economically into the Portuguese state. This approach included imposing a language and a culture and exploiting the resources of the colonies. The start of the Portuguese colonial war in the early 60s occurred within, of course, the broader context of decolonization and liberation struggles that swept across Africa and Asia in the mid-20th century. Former colonial powers were facing increasing pressure to relinquish control over their overseas territories, and Portugal decided to stand out as a stubborn holdout, refusing to grant independence to its African colonies, refusing to follow the movement that was sweeping through Europe. This defiance, of course, flew in the face of those global trends of self-determination and independence, which had gained a lot of momentum after World War II. Then the emergency of the nationalist movements in Portugal's African colonies was inspired, of course, by the successes of liberation movements elsewhere and marked that desire of the people to get rid of the shackles of colonial oppression. Internationally, Portugal's refusal to decolonize the African territories actually drew condemnation from the United Nations and from other international bodies, which looked at colonialism as totally incompatible with the principles of human rights and self-determination. While other colonial powers were moving in their response to concede, Portugal's authoritarian regime maintained his position steadfast in its commitment to maintain the colonial empire. This defiance fueled both resentment and resistance among the colonized populations, but further isolated Portugal diplomatically and intensified the international scrutiny of its policies. Against all of this backdrop, the outbreak of the armed conflict in Portugal's African colonies marked a significant escalation in the struggle for liberation. This struggle for independence unfolded through intense fighting. Often brutal guerrilla warfare tactics were employed, and the Portuguese army faced new challenges, operating from remote areas with no local support. The conflict witnessed atrocities that were committed, massacres, executions, widespread human rights abuses, and civilians often found themselves in the middle of the crossfire, facing displacement, starvation, and so many other forms of violence. The conflict's toll on both combatants and civilians was staggering, with thousands killed. The exact number of deaths is very difficult to determine because of various factors, very limited access to records, the remote and inaccessible nature of some conflict zones, and the conflict spanned through multiple territories and lasted for over a decade and made this comprehensive data collection very challenging. Some estimates talk about 50 to 100,000 just in Angola. And of course, similar estimates exist for the other territories. The international dimension of the conflict as well further intensified its violence because external powers, in the context of a Cold War as well, tried to provide support for either nationalist movements and Portugal's efforts to maintain control. So all in all it did was to exacerbate the suffering for everyone. And, of course, to forge a different path to the victory of the nationalist movements. The repercussions of the war are enormous and profound, and they left indelible marks in Portugal and, of course, in the new independent African nations. The war led to the independence of these colonies, of course, but also played a very important role in triggering the Carnation Revolution in Portugal. The war placed new and very significant strains on Portugal's military forces, and it led to discontent, disillusionment, anger amongst the soldiers who were tasked to go and sent to fight away overseas in distant colonies without a clear path to victory. Their discontent, combined with the growing opposition to the regime, culminated in the Carnation Revolution, because we must remember that this revolution was spearheaded by military. Of course, there was popular backing, of course, there were movements of resistance, but today it's the military that takes the lead, and they were, of course, fueled also by this discontent and this anger towards this war. The transition to democracy in Portugal helped the negotiations for independence with the nationalist movements and ultimately resulted in agreements with the colonies. But the legacy of the process of decolonization is lingering still in the country of today. The end of the colonial war and the transition to independence marked a turning point in the history of Portugal and at the end of these dreams of empire that were held by so many. In Portugal, one of the most significant consequences as well was the phenomenon of the retornados, who were Portuguese citizens that returned from Portugal from the colonies to Portugal. They were fleeing those territories in war, and they faced a new life in Portugal. They faced many challenges of housing and employment, but also just of adapting to this country that they were so far away from and that they were so different. It changed and shaped the society of Portugal in those years afterwards, because they brought new ways of socializing, new ways of being, and that clash was fundamental to the country as well. And you can read more about that in one of the cultural notes that we're going to give you. Because to end this episode on a cultural tone, I would love to suggest that you go and read António Lobo Antunes. He's a Portuguese writer, and he captured brilliantly the psychological and emotional toll of war. And many of his novels, from Os Cus de Judas, one of the most famous ones from 79, to so many others, and he portrays this time of the war like no one else. Another recommendation would be actually a movie, Cartas de Guerra, Letters from War, that was directed by Ivo Ferreira and is based in one of António Lobo Antunes, one of his books, which is a collection of letters that he wrote during his service as a military doctor in Angola. The film offers an exploration of the war from a very personal perspective, so I think it's really worth a watch, and it's a beautiful piece of cinema. And also, to finally come to that, there's a book by Dulce Cardoso. She's a Portuguese author, and the book is called O Retorno, and it's a very poignant depiction of the life of those that were coming back to Portugal from the colonies and their experiences. And so much of this makes part of Portugal's collective memory, and what a memory it is.
And this is where we'll stop for now. Join us on the next episode.
Until then, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Corkout History Pod, where you can reach out to us, let us know your thoughts, and discover more about the episodes.
Don't forget to rate and subscribe wherever you're listening to us.
Your comments really are crucial so that more people can find us.
Bye!